like a dick. Stop. Right on. Hey, man, what's your name?
From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to Future Focus Now, giving you great conversations with great guests from Winston-Salem State University and beyond. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor, Elwood L. Robinson.
Good evening. Mount Duke's parent company, PepsiCo, initiated a five-year, $400 million plan to uplift Black community and strengthen Black businesses by leveling the playing field for Black people in America. The $1 million Real Change Opportunity Fund was created to help Black entrepreneurs who are current students or recent graduates from historically Black colleges and universities with existing PepsiCo relationships. Bringing early business ideas to fruition or scale up existing ventures, entrepreneurs pitched their ideas and their current business ventures for a chance to win a piece of the $1 million prize. Mountain Dew will provide resources, marketing, and funding in a targeted effort to help shorten the historic wealth gap, broaden the potential for generational wealth. Battery Exchange is with me tonight. The team members are all WSSU alums. Desmond Wiggins, 2012 graduate with a bachelor's degree in business management from Winston-Salem State University. Desmond started his career with Pepsi, spending time in both management and account manager roles. Then he spent 2 years in China, obtaining his MBA in international business through Fort Hays University. While in China, Desmond worked in various roles with international business where he worked with technology, manufacturing, and hardware. From leaving China, Desmond co-founded Battery Exchange and is now CEO, leading the company to meet major milestones. Second guest, Aubrey Yaboah, is a 2012 graduate of Winston-Salem State University, degree in marketing, MBA in international business from SIAS University. Aubrey has over 10 years of professional experience and has held numerous positions within marketing, one of which includes an advertising consultant for a well-known company in Washington, D.C. Aubrey also has spent time working as a marketing consultant for BET. He is co-founder of Battery Exchange and is now CMO leading the brand development. Third member of the team, Jared Goins. Jared is a 2020 WSSU graduate with a Bachelor of Science degree in healthcare management. While having a comprehensive health services background, his emphasis is marketing and entrepreneurship. Jared is the CEO of Goins Viral Marketing, a graphic design and marketing solutions business. Their mission is to work closely with entrepreneurs to support their business goals and increase their brand awareness through the creation of eye-catching graphic design and marketing solutions. Jared was first exposed to Battery Exchange during Homecoming 2019, where he was the lead brand ambassador on campus during the Battery Exchange product launch on campus. Then he used his love for marketing to become director of brand engagement for the company. Battery Exchange, guys, thank you for joining me tonight and being my guest on Future Focus Now. I am so excited to have you guys here. I hope that we can get, we have a little technical difficulties. We got a lot of sound going on. Hopefully we can clear that up, but that's the nature of the game. Sounds like somebody's typing, but hopefully we'll get through that and this will be a great show. Welcome. I got to show you guys something, man, before we get started. You're not going to believe this, Desmond. I was getting ready for the show and I had to make a note. I had to make some notes. I reached into my drawer and I pulled out a piece of paper just to write on. And okay. The piece of paper that I pulled out, I don't know if you can see this. This is actually.
Oh, wow. Was that from the event?
That was from the event. It's absolutely incredible. It's amazing. Talk to me, guys. Tell me about Battery Exchange, while you're here. It was the launch in 2019 that we had on campus. That's where you picked up Jared. He was there. Tell us a little bit about it, Desmond.
Yeah, totally. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, being Winston-Salem State grads and Coming back and being able to share our journey is, you know, something that we want to be intentional about. And so Aubrey and I, we were actually, like you mentioned, doing our MBA in the middle of Asia, and, you know, traveling, seeing the world, exposing our friends and our family to what life was like out in the East. And then one unfortunate, but, you know, which was a blessing in disguise, we ran into an inconvenience of having a dead cell phone when we were out and about. And that cell phone was our only way home. And so that was kind of that light bulb moment that we could be the ones to create a more convenient way for individuals to charge their cell phone while they're out and about. So it was from that night we went back and started sketching out some business models, looking at some product ideas, and then came back to America and hit the ground running. And so what we pretty much do is we provide on-demand portable batteries for cell phone users. So similar to like the scooters or the bikes that you see in various communities, we provide portable batteries for individuals to charge cell phones, tablets, various devices. So that's pretty much what the company is.
Yeah. I mean, what got you to thinking that you could launch your own company and have your own business? I mean, how did you arrive at that? And what led you? What was the pathway to developing a company? How did it come about?
Yeah, I could start, and then Aubrey, you could share your background as well. So we're both first generation Americans. My family's Jamaican. Aubrey's family is American. I mean, sorry, African. And so it was always pressure on us to be the individuals that can like break through, start a business. My dad was an entrepreneur, so I got exposure from that. My granddad was an entrepreneur, not by choice, but by survival. And so it was through that, you know, personally, I saw that's the way to legacy building. That's the way to, you know, changing the whole landscape of what Wigan means, you know. And so, you know, when we were able to find an opportunity to potentially take it to the next level, we decided to put everything aside, sacrifice so much. We came back and we didn't look at the whole corporate right. We just said, like, this is going to be what takes us and our family to the next level.
Well, Aubrey, share how you got involved with it.
Yeah, so Battery Exchange was an idea that, you know, we've been talking about for years. So when we were in China, that was our opportunity to kind of put our heads together. Like Desmond said, we wanted to provide a new avenue for our families to build that legacy. And we knew, you know, being in China, that's the manufacturing capital of the world. You know what I mean? So we didn't want to leave China without bringing a piece of that knowledge, that experience back home with us. So the idea of Battery Exchange was late night, you know, we were up, and the crazy was the time difference, you know what I mean? So we would be up late at night and y'all would be kind of getting y'all day started type of thing. So we were always like ahead trying to figure out what we could bring home, what could be sustainable, and what could, you know, provide opportunities for the next generation. So that's what we found in Battery Exchange.
And that's wonderful. And so you guys, you've been together, you're developing your company, you do a launch on campus. Thank you. I was a part of that. Yeah. And that was great. It was great being there. And then you pick up Jared. How do you guys pick up Jared? Jared, how did you convince these guys to let you come in?
Well, of course, like you mentioned before, I'm a graphics person. So I'm working on campus. I was the Campus Life Marketing Committee president for 2 years on campus. And while in that role, there was opportunity that came to me, and they reached out actually to some students on campus through social media. So actually, I reached out to them, submitted a resume. I said, okay, the marketing is amazing. You know, I have to be a part of this. So I was like, bring it to campus. I got a team. Let's push it. So they reached out and they said, yeah, just, you know, let's meet on campus. You know, let's just get it going. So we got a team together. And from there, our relationship has just grown. And of course, we are fraternity brothers. That was one plus. That was one plus.
Right.
So just this experience from then is just really good. I'm so excited to see.
That's great. So, I mean, so tell us about the business today. What is the state of the business?
Man, we're in a good state. So it's kind of crazy the last 2 years of building a company through a pandemic. Initially in 2019, when we launched on campus, our concept was within a sharing economy where we would charge the end user to rent portable batteries. And then what we were doing was we were partnering with a bunch of events up along the East Coast. So anywhere from New York, Atlanta, Miami, we were at major events. And so with COVID happening and events pretty much shutting down, we kind of had to be creative and think differently. So all of last year, we successfully raised a crowdfunding campaign. We raised over 115 grand from that. That gave us a lot of runway to produce new products, mobile application. We launched it on Google Play and the Apple Store. And then being patient through this year in February, we were actually able to launch our physical kiosk machines into several locations. So based out of Charlotte right now, we're in 6 locations and it's continuously moving. So we're getting engagement from users. We're getting some really good feedback from customers. And the way it works is we work with businesses to place our kiosk machines in their establishments, and their users have this extra amenity to, you know, stay there a little bit longer, keep charged, continue their evenings or their, you know, whatever that next step is. And we're in an opportunity of growth. We've been doing really well on the pitch circuit, raising some, you know, outside investment. So we're really looking to grow through Charlotte. And then over the next few months, hopefully go to some additional markets as well.
That's great. And Aubrey, you came to Winston-Salem State University and you hooked up with this guy immediately, or did it take a while?
It took a while. It took a while because we just had to see how everything would come together. You know what I mean? When you have an idea, you kind of want to hold on to it like a baby type of thing. So you kind of want to build a relationship with someone outside of just being friends, because once you go into business, it's a whole different ball game. You know what I mean? So money's on the line, legacy's on the line. Who do you want to partner with to kind of bring an idea to life and people can really enjoy and be a part of the experience? So being out there in China, I was like, okay, this guy got something going. You know, like we black males in China, it was just like, okay, let's see how we could partner up. We have similar backgrounds. You know what I mean? And we just wanted to see what our network and our abilities can do once we combine. And as you can see, we making things happen.
Yeah, I mean, you really are making things happen. And when I think about where we are as a society, you know, innovation, entrepreneurship is so big. So how did you guys get involved in that? And what pushed you to be, you know, sort of an innovator, an entrepreneur?
Yeah. I think for me, it was, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. We're still trying to figure out what that noise is. I think it's Aubrey's line, but I'm not gonna blame you, but when you're talking, I don't hear it. And so, but.
Okay, yeah, it might be. Yeah, man, you messed me up, Aubrey.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we're good. So for me, I talked about, you know, my family being from, you know, Jamaica. I would go back each and every year visiting my family down there. And I started to see a lot of, honestly, Chinese infrastructure down there. And so for me, I started to like fall in love with, you know, that economy and just what they've been able to do in the tech circuit. And so I knew like I needed to find a way out there. And then, you know, I was looking for MBA programs. And then found one that allowed us to go out there for a little while. But I mean, you just got to think about it. It's the future. Technology is the wave. You see all these new, you know, advanced technologies that are coming out, everything from like your AIs to blockchains, all these various things. And I wanted to be here 20 years from now. You know, right. I wanted, you know, a company that could potentially be here 20 years from now. So that was the biggest thing for me, is seeing where the shift was and where the world is going, and seeing how we could become a part of it as Black males or as Black students, as HBCU grads. And so, you know, the reason why we even came back in 2019 was to expose our students who come from communities like us, that they too could travel and see the world. They too could start a technology company. They too can raise capital, even though Black people don't get, it's like under 2%. Like, we can do these things. And so we're just trying to, you know, show people that, you know, it can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now take me through the Pepsi challenge, the competition that you guys were involved in. How did you get involved in it? And then tell me a little bit about the experience. Then I'm going to make an announcement for you.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we've just been in the circuit, like being a small company, capital is key, and you know, investment is key. So we try and find as many pitch competitions as possible. And during this time, a few months ago, a few people within our network had shared the Mountain Dew opportunity with us. So we applied. We did a first round of interview, and then we ended up getting to the second round. And then there was a little deeper dive within that interview, and then we got to the next round. And then that was a full on 40. It was like an hour interview. There was questions, a bunch of questions about your business, about the growth and opportunity. And then we made the final five. So I think there was over 500 applicants. So for us to make the final five was truly a blessing. And then from that, it was just, unfortunately we couldn't do it in person. So they had to send us like camera gear, lighting, all these different things. And we were able to go through the stages. We did an interview with Lala on a mentorship level, and that was really cool. We were able to also leverage the mentors. I mean, you had everything and the judges. So you had the CEO of Pepsi, the VP of Mountain Dew, Morgan from Blavity, like all these big type, DJ Envy, all these individuals that are like, I mean, they built businesses, they have massive impact. And so being able to learn and go through that process and pitch to them was a really, really cool opportunity. So we were all super grateful for it, to be honest.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the spirits, Jared.
Oh, it's been amazing. Just seeing the growth throughout the beginning and throughout the end. I've been a part of Better Exchange, of course, for just 2 years now. And now I go out and I reach out to people that are in the businesses within Charlotte. Since I relocated from Winston-Salem after graduating to Charlotte, I've had a better connection with Desmond Arbery. So just engaging, learning the business side, the mentorship has been really impactful. So I'm excited.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for you. Aubrey, talk about your experience with the pitch competition. What was that like?
Man, the pitch competition, like Desmond said, it was hectic because they had us going from one location to the next. We had to get images ready for the kiosk machine so that we could present what our kiosk can actually do for a company or a business that, let's say, Mountain Dew wants to partner with us. We can advertise and show certain things on our digital screens. And we wanted to be able to articulate and showcase everything in a complete package so that we could win the grand prize. But as you see, we did our best, but you know, we got more coming.
No, you guys did well. And I don't know if folks understand the significance of what you guys have accomplished. You talked about the pitch competition with Mountain Dew and 500 applicants. You guys make the finalists. So you're in the top five. And what's interesting is that you guys also were associated with Winston-Salem State University. Yeah. I don't know, do you guys know that they also sent us some money?
Yep, we learned about that later. Yep, we learned about that later.
So this is incredible because not only does your business, win a prize in terms of, I think it was like $42,000. I can't remember the exact amount, but they also did a matching gift to the university. Wow.
That's amazing.
And to hope, launch entrepreneurship and whatever. And because you guys allowed us to do that, I'm going to invest in you. So I'm going to use that part of that money to do something to help you out. And wow. So we need to have a conversation. We need to get together and figure out what that is. But you're the reason why we got it. So we also want to invest in your company as well. So that's the announcement that I'm making to you.
Wow, that's a blessing. Was not expecting that at all. We do have some ideas about what we could potentially do with that, and so we'll have some more conversations. I do want to say, it's not done yet as far as like what we want to do as far as impacting the community and helping our students. We also have internships that we're going to be providing for the summer. And we'll be doing a virtual session on Friday with Career Services as well for some students that are in marketing. So this is 2019 was the start of it. This Mountain Dew was the second stage of it, and it's a blessing. And then we're just going to continue to, I know Aubrey said this earlier, depart to serve. And that's literally what we signed up for freshman year. And that's what we're doing for the rest of our life, to be honest.
Yeah. And that's great. When you think about what you've done, and you reflect on that, what kind of conversations do you have among yourselves? I hope that you have conversations where you're proud of what you've done. You may even at times have conversations where you're amazed at what you've done, but you've accomplished this and it's quite significant. And I hope you feel that, and I hope you appreciate that. Give me a sense of what's next for Battery Exchange and what you'd like to happen. You really talked about a lot of different things, internships. We also want to make a connection with you at the university as well. So talk a little bit what you think is next for you.
Okay,
so yeah, I think for us what started it off was kind of facing that fear. When you start a company, when you start anything in life, there's a little bit of fear that you have to talk yourself through. And for us, that's what we did. We outlined all the negatives that kind of faced us as Black entrepreneurs, as males in the tech field. And we kind of balled it up and threw it out the window and said, all right, let's see what else we can do. And through that, we partnered with different entrepreneurs, ecosystems throughout North Carolina, DC, Atlanta. And all of these circles motivated us and molded us and taught us all the things that an entrepreneur should know and should utilize in their day-to-day. So books, podcasts, surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals who have the same passion and dreams as you, you kind of move in the right direction. And that's what we're able to do. And I think moving forward, of course, we provide on-the-go portable batteries and we can charge communities with our product and service. But it's more than that. You know what I mean? We want to be able to do what all these other big companies are doing in communities, like donate to Winston-Salem State or bring individuals from universities that we've come from into our network and expose them to technology and the next fields of entrepreneurship and things like that. So that's the motivation right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jared, I mean, you've always been an entrepreneur by heart. You've actually done some great things. You think about building and creating businesses. I know that's in your future. Talk a little bit about yourself and where you see yourself going.
Definitely. And I appreciate that. So Going Viral Marketing LLC was established while I was in college. So this senior part of my year, everything went virtual. So a lot of businesses were reaching out to me. They were asking for different marketing materials, especially for social media campaigns. And so now partnering with Battery Exchange, I'm excited to see how the aesthetic is going to continue to advance. And I'm continuing to work with different businesses for different projects, websites, graphic design needs, logos. So the startup businesses is my passion. People that, you know, people who are on campuses that are saying that, oh, I have an idea, they can come to me and they can kind of get that insight of how I can create that aesthetic for them and just continue to push forward towards their dreams as well. So I'm excited to see how my business continues to grow.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. Guys, stay with me. I got another guest. Tonight is all about entrepreneurship and innovation. And the students and folks who attended Winston-Salem State University. And so I am so excited as chancellor to have you guys on the show. Stay with me. I'm going to bring you back a little bit later. But I want to bring in another guest right now to talk a little bit more about innovation. And this is someone who's been in this space for a while. So my next guest is an entrepreneur. And his name is Emir Scafe. I think I got that right. I practiced it for a while. He's representing himself tonight, but he's one of the youngest investment advisor representatives in late December 2018, while closing out his first semester as a student at Winston-Salem State. He became the youngest African-American at that time to pass the Series 65 Investment Advisor Law Exam. He accomplished this feat without any institutional support. Emir conducted a 5-year apprenticeship under the late Hezekiah Griggs III, during which time he traveled and obtained firsthand exposure to the world venture capitalism and social responsible investing. Emir's mission and mantra in life are, love this, serve the underserved and hear the unheard, ultimately becoming a change agent for struggling and oppressed people around the world. Outside of financial advising, Emir is a founder and president of Blacks for Liberation and Cooperative Community Action. His organization models his mission in life, which is serving those who are often unserved and being a listening ear to those who go unheard. with a special focus on the Black community. His organization is dedicated to providing sustainable, equitable, and tangible solutions for the issues that plague oppressed people. BLCCA provides practical and consistent mentoring to at-risk urban youth and aim to expose them to the opportunities that exist outside of their current circumstances. This mentorship and guidance gives young people something better to hope and strive for in their future. Amir, thank you, man, for joining me tonight and being a part of Future Focus Now. We thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
I am glad to have you. Say what?
I said you got close with the last name.
Well, I didn't get close. I was spot on. I was spot on in the last name. I got you, man.
I got it.
Look, man, so you were at Winston-Salem State University, a student athlete, and now you're in this entrepreneurship world. I'm trying to see, how close are you to the mic?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm getting some noise and feedback. I don't know if you're too close. Do you have anything else with you on?
Let me try something.
Yeah.
I gotta, is that better?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's a little better.
All right.
All right. So tell me a little bit about your experiences at Winston-Salem State University and how you got into this whole area of entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So first of all, I really wouldn't even call myself an entrepreneur, man. I'm just a servant, and it's classified as entrepreneurship, I guess, unfortunately. But I came to Winston-Salem after graduating from Georgia State University. I had 1 more year to play football. I just did not have the best experience at a PWI trying to play quarterback. As a Black quarterback, it's just, you really got to have somebody advocating for you, especially at those D1 schools. And it just, you know, I got my papers, I got my degree, went to Winston-Salem. I was very grateful to find home at Winston to be able to kind of have my last hoorah for my football career. So when upon getting to Winston-Salem, I knew I went into the field of financial services, right? My whole, I guess what you say, my intervention in the space of financial services, when I look at the landscape of financial services, you have 99% of financial advisors and investment advisors, fund managers, whatever the classification is, going for that 1% of people, right? Ultra wealthy, high net worth individuals, accredited investors, everybody's shooting for those people. But I want to be the 1% that went towards the 99, right? The people that needed help. People that grew up like I grew up, people that are in the communities every day that they're struggling, right? Who just need a little bit of help, need a little bit of guidance. Those are the people that I want to really help, want to really serve. So everything that I'm doing and building is surrounded around helping people that actually need the help, right? With my organization and with any business ventures that I'm engaged in.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it's all about, Amir. I mean, that is entrepreneurship, and I want you to see yourself as an entrepreneur. But you're in a different space. We have to move that away. You have any? I'm still getting the feedback from your mic, I believe.
I don't have anything else on.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll work with it, right? But that's entrepreneurship with a heart. And thinking about social justice and thinking about, you know, those who have not been in traditionally been in these spaces, giving them an opportunity. That's what you do. So how did you get involved in that? You know, that aspect of entrepreneurship in terms of what you just mentioned to me.
Yeah. I think I knew from a young age I was supposed to do something for the people, right? Something for my community. I've always known that's been something sitting on my spirit. I never knew what that looked like. All right. So I was like most Black kids that, you know, I grew up wanting to be an athlete, and I was like, I'm just going to build a platform and I'm going to be an advocate and a activist for human rights and, you know, civil rights and things like that. That didn't go as planned. I think by the grace of God, it didn't go as planned because that wasn't the route I should have been taking. Right. It was upon my mentor, Hezekiah Griggs III, my late mentor, actually. That you mentioned earlier, seeing and traveling with him and just getting the experience firsthand from what it looked like from, he was a young Black male himself at the time. Like I said, he was 28 years old, youngest African-American VC in the country at the time. had a $100 million fund that he started himself, got the money himself from, you know, investors and things like that. And just seeing how he was able not only to rule his own life, but able to change people's lives by the presence of his presence in the room. So I know seeing that, seeing again, the control he had, the ability to not have a boss, I would say, like he didn't have a coach he had to tap into and say, you know, I got to be here at 6 a.m. for workouts. It was like, no, man, we did a trip to Houston for a leadership convention, and some of the boys we were able to help there. It was like, I couldn't have did that unless he was his own boss, right? He was able to do it, fund a lot of camps. He did a lot of stuff. And just me being receded, I always knew I wanted to be like that. I want to be in business for the purpose of helping people, right? That's been my driving force since I've learned what that looked like.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now. What's some of the things you're involved in?
Yeah. So, I'll mention where I came from. I know, you know, me and we kind of talked briefly about it. The Pocket Advisor platform was kind of why I'm here. Right. So that was also part of the Real Change Opportunity Fund with what Desmond mentioned earlier, the last group of Battery Exchange. We were also on that. I was a part of that team with the Pocket Advisor. We were able to, again, make it to that top five. We got third place. We won $72,000 from that. That was a blessing. I would say, though, one of the things I do want to mention is that before I get into actually what I'm doing, so I had to step away from some of my roles with Pocket Advisor and the things I was doing. I think one of the hardest things as an entrepreneur and just a person in life is knowing when to step away from something. Right. Not that it was not to say it was bad. I think I believe in the team. I believe in the vision of Pocket Advisor. But knowing that my purpose and knowing that what God has for me was just aligning me in a different direction. Right. And I had to make that jump and just believe in myself to go a different direction. So in doing so, I just definitely want to shout out Pocket Advisor. If they're watching, I'm definitely still, I believe in them. I love what they're doing and things like that. But what I'm doing now, aside from my organization, Black or BLCCA, on the business side, is just really leaning into building a firm that focuses on what I told you earlier, that 99% of people that need the help, right? I think we all have, especially at this level, we have access to those, you know, one-off millionaires and people like that. But the bulk of people that I know, that I grew up with, that I see in my everyday life, they're the people that need the help in this life. They just had a little bit of guidance, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of knowledge. They're willing to do what it takes. I just want to be that vessel that gets people along the way to get them the proper financial services that they need, to get them investing and building for legacy that they should be building for. It doesn't take much. Me being in the financial space, I know it doesn't take much. It's small changes in habits. It's somebody coaching you along the way, somebody encouraging you when things aren't looking as good as you want them to look. Keep you on track to know, like 10, 15, 20 years from now, you'll be happy with the sacrifices you made, because now your kids can say, you know, I didn't have to pay for school because mama had me, right? Or my father took care of me, or whatever the case may be. That's the impact I want to have. And that's what I see the gap in financial services is right now. So that's what I'm building right now.
Man. No, I mean, that's great. I mean, when I think about building wealth, and one of the things that we talk about now is closing the wealth gap. And what you're talking about is giving everybody an access to be their own boss. I heard you talk about that earlier. But I mean, that's a great space to be in, Amir. And you think you've been like that most of your life. You said, I've always known that I wanted to do something really significant around those who under-resourced families, under-resourced folks, and create opportunities for them to build businesses and build wealth. That's where you are, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you've been like that most of your life.
Yeah. I would say I would think that inspiration came from just seeing the struggle firsthand. Not to say I've had it. I mean, I know there's people. I've took trips to Africa. I've took trips overseas, and I see there's poverty upon higher than what we could imagine here in the U.S. But as a kid, seeing my mother, a single mother, young with 2-3 kids, just trying to make it on our own, right? Not having the support from, you know, my father or anybody else, just trying to make it on our own. I knew, I was like, I got to take care of my mom. And that's where it always, that seed was planted in my mind a long time ago. It was like, I got to make sure that whatever resources I need to acquire, whatever has to happen, I'm going to take care of my mom, take care of my family. And then that expanded to taking care of my community. Because there's a lot of moms that live that walk that same walk as my mother. And I seen it, right? But there's a lot of people that I would say poured into me. You know, a lot of people that prayed for me to be in the position I'm in right now. So I just think it's my duty, my responsibility, and my obligation to make sure I'm using whatever ability, access, privilege that I have to give back and pour back into those in a meaningful and tangible way.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for that. I mean, very powerful. Where are you now? I mean, what are you doing right now?
I'm literally right now in Florida on vacation, but so as I mentioned earlier, it's probably my nonprofit, which is Black, has been able to take on more of a serious role now that I've stepped down from, you know, the pocket advisor team and things like that. But like I said, leading into getting my firm stood up and structured in a way that can be profitable and scalable, but also focusing on the community aspect of helping people that need the help. Right. So that's what I'm doing from an entrepreneurship standpoint.
Yeah. And I actually, as I mentioned to Battery Exchange, because of your connection to Pocket Advisor, Winston-Salem State University has received a matching grant that you guys got.
Yeah, and I did not know that. So,
I want to invest in you, and I want to help you with some of the things that you're doing. So, you know, after this show, we need to connect and see how we can get together and have a conversation about what that might look like.
For sure. I definitely appreciate that. I was I always knew, I was like, man, I want to one day be able to give back to Winston-Salem. I just, because y'all gave me something, y'all gave me that second chance that I needed to be able to put that dream of football behind me, right? I just needed to get that closure, and you guys gave that to me. But yeah, I told your assistant earlier, I was like, I got to definitely take a trip back up to Winston. I'm moving back to Charlotte soon. So in a couple months, I got to pull up on you and see if we can get together. So sure, I definitely appreciate that.
No, you have to, because we're actually getting ready to launch something really big in terms of innovation and entrepreneurship. And I certainly want to make sure that you guys are a part of that. I want to make sure that you are part of that, because you're talking the language, you're talking what we want to do, and we want to get in the spaces that you're in. So stay with me. I'm going to come back in a few minutes. I got one more guest that I want to get to, and come back and join me in a few minutes. All right. My next guests are a group of Winston-Salem State University students that participated in Wellington Management's inaugural stock pitch competition. The competition was open to 4 HBCUs this year. WSSU has had a total of 4 teams with 9 students. The competition's goal was for a student to pitch a stock to Wellington Management that they should buy or sell using any available analytics. They were given a list of 40 stocks to choose from. Students gain experience in competitor analysis and stock performance. The winning team pitched Apple stock. Their prize was $1,000 to split among the team. Joining me tonight, Michaela Bailey is a senior from Durham, North Carolina, majoring in economics with a minor in marketing and finance. She has aspirations for being a financial analyst and also pursuing a career in real estate. Next member of that team, Casey Latson Jr., is a senior from Charlotte, North Carolina, who is majoring in management information system. Casey has already accepted a full-time offer with Wells Fargo as a program associate in the 2021 Wake Forest Technology Program in Charlotte following his graduation. His future goal is to create his own app or own his own tech consulting firm or software development company. The third member of the team, Aaron Martin, is a senior from Raleigh, North Carolina, double majoring in business administration with a concentration in personal finance and economics with a concentration in general economics. His future employment goal is to work as a financial analyst for a Fortune 500 company. Welcome to Future Focus. I got the three of you here, and you are all seniors. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you all graduating?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You graduating like in like 2 weeks?
Yes, sir.
I mean, this is one of the coolest things I've seen. I got three graduates here. Thank you. I mean, tell me, so who can tell me about this competition and how did the teams come together? Who can share that with me? Aaron looked like he's ready to talk. How did this come about?
First, I would like to say thank you, Chancellor Robinson. Also, I'd like to say thank you to all of the staff for our classes and our teachers and everyone else that you brought along. I really do appreciate the time that you've taken out of your busy schedules to go ahead and have us on as guests and listen. To go ahead and answer your question, though, our stock pitch creation came along with us being students in our collective class, one of our collective classes. And personally, for myself, and I feel as though for my colleagues as well, that we all sort of gravitated towards what we were learning in our actual classes. And we really were excited about knowing how we can employ the skills and the different things that we're learning into some practical application.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you had this competition. Casey, were you nervous?
Definitely, because I'm an IT major, so I didn't really know much about the whole, just around investment planning, as far as from the standpoint of analytics and understanding exactly what I'm looking for. Because I recently started investing my own in July, so I have about less than a year of experience. So it was just learning as I go along. My team members are all good, which helped me to put this best effort forward for the school and ourselves.
Fantastic. Michaela, how did the team get together? How did the team come together?
So Dr. Gasavi actually presented it to us in our investment management class. So she just kind of put the idea out there, and we all just said, oh, well, I want to sign up. And yeah, so we made a group chat, and we just started working on our presentation and just learning about what we were actually doing. And yeah.
Well, that's great. So does it have a name? What's the name of the team?
Yeah, we were Team Money Talks.
Oh, I like that. Who came up with the name? I like that. Money Talks.
Casey,
that's you. Money Talks, right? So what was it like? How did you prepare? So you had to talk about a stock. I mean, tell me about the competition.
So they gave us a list of stocks to choose from, and we chose Apple. So we basically just did our research on Apple and why we thought it was a strong buy. Mm-hmm. And we just presented that information to all of the Wellington staff and also the other students.
Okay. Now, and what was that like? And how did you make the pitch? How long was it?
The pitch itself was about 15 minutes.
No.
Yeah, we each had like our different parts that we worked on. Like Casey went over the background of Apple, and Aaron did the ratio analysis. And I did the capital asset pricing model. And yeah, we just kind of put it together and we displayed the risk and everything involved in investing in that particular stock and what investors would need to know and why they should invest in that stock.
Now, when you think about investing in stock, in particular Apple, I mean, the average person can't invest in Apple, right? It's too expensive, isn't it? Isn't it? Or no?
Apple actually split their stock so to make it more affordable. So right now, well, I know when we did the presentation, the price was about $133, which honestly is expensive, but it's not too bad. It would be much higher if they hadn't split their stock. I think it split into six different sectors. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was four.
Four.
About in August, they had a recent stock split. It was done about five times in their existence. So it technically was like referring to what Michaela said. The value at the time was like 133. But by comparison, if they didn't have as much bits as they did, right now Apple stock would be over $1,000.
A share?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive. So what does this do for you guys? What does it do for your confidence? What does it do? How has this changed your thinking being a part of this competition?
It changed my thinking as far as to go outside my comfort zone of what I normally do. And I had to learn different skills and I had to work with people that I never met before. I never had a class with Michaela or Aaron, but just meeting them made me wish I would have known them throughout my whole career at Winston State. They're good students and we all put our best work for it. And we definitely did to the best of our capabilities. Now, obviously things are out of our hands as far as the end result, but it definitely worked out as far as the experience overall.
As for myself, one, this stock pitch opportunity built my confidence in me as a professional, knowing the different types of things that I want to pursue and actually build sort of a strength and trust in myself, knowing that I'm competent in what I'm doing. Also, it helped me develop as a leader and also be able to showcase to not only my peers, but also my teachers, also staff at the school, also the Wellington management individuals that allowed me to become more of a leader and develop in that sense. And third, this also helped me sort of build my communication and develop in a sense of the things that I'd like to have done and prioritize.
And so you guys, you won something. What did you win? What did you win? Didn't you win something?
We won $1,000 to split amongst the three of us. And they also gave us a gift card voucher to get some food as well.
That sounds pretty good. And so you guys didn't even know each other and came together to create this Money Talks team, right? I mean, so what are you thinking? You think you guys might work together in the future? I mean, what's happening with Money Talks?
Honestly, I don't know what the future holds, but I would love to. Like Casey said, these two are great individuals, and it was an honor to work with them. So I would definitely look forward to working with them in the future.
Wow. Well, really, I'm really proud of you guys. I got the announcement a couple weeks ago. They sent it to me and told me about, you know, the competition and told me that you guys were involved in that. And I was so excited. I wanted to reach out and get you guys on the show. I didn't know that you all three were seniors. And so let me congratulate you on graduating and look forward to seeing you at commencement. So with commencement, are y'all in the same commencement? I mean, we got so many. When's your commencement?
At 9.
Okay. All right. Everybody's at 9?
May 21st, 9 a.m.
9 a.m. All right.
Excited. Thank you.
I'll see you there. And congratulations once again. Job well done. Let's bring everybody back, Kent. Man, look, let me thank y'all for joining me tonight. I know we had a couple glitches, but I mean, that's the nature of the world that we live in. And I appreciate each and every one of you taking time to come and talk with me. As Chancellor at Winston-Salem State University, I'm so proud of the work that each and every one of you that you do every day. You're a testament to the students that come to WSSU, enter to learn, depart to serve. That's what you're doing. I'm wondering if I could get Battery Exchange to say a few words to Money Talks, because, you know, here, I mean, they make this presentation to Wellington, and I said, you guys might want to come together and do something significant. Desmond, help me out. Help me encourage them.
I was actually thinking about that, to be honest. Like, I was like, I don't know what y'all are doing as far as, you know, internships for the summer or if you guys already landed jobs. But when it comes to like the finance side of things, you know, there's some opportunity within our company as well. So I'd be like, love if we could like reconnect, I'll share my contact information with you guys and we can have a conversation within that. Connects you to our network as your job search. And then I think I remember my first pitch in undergrad and how it was enlightening, you know, to where I'm at now. And I just feel like just continue to remember, like, you're enough, yo. Like, you coming from an HBCU or anything like that doesn't have anything. It's just those 5 or 10 minutes that you're in front of the individuals that are decision makers and making an impression and growing in that space. So the more you practice, the more you be yourself and get comfortable in that space, like you guys are going to be beyond where we're at, you know, in the future. So that's just what I would say.
See, that's great encouragement. And thank you, Amir. Thank you, man, for bringing a different space to us. And that's what we do at Winston-Salem State University. I mentioned to you, our new strategic plan is really making sure that almost every student can get an opportunity to get involved in creating and building their own business. I mean, that next strategic plan is laser focused on the work that you guys are doing now. And as I mentioned to you, and I'm serious about that, I want to connect with each and every one of you. I want to connect with you, and get you involved. Battery Exchange, you guys allow Winston-Salem State to receive $114,000 because of the work that you have done. So thank you so much. The university thanks you. We are certainly going to invest some in your companies and in your businesses because you helped us obtain that. So thank you so much. We'll be in touch, everybody. I'll see Money Talks in a couple of weeks at graduation. Congratulations to y'all as well. Thanks everybody for joining us tonight. And as always, join us next week for another edition of Future Focus Now.